Today, from the Piano Jazz Archives, we bring you a program from 1986 with Marion McPartland and her guest, jazz and blues pianist Sammy Price. He began his career in the 1920s. In 1938, he became a session pianist with Decca Records and led his own band, the Texas Bluesicians, which included greats such as Lester Young. On today's program, Price demonstrates his boogie-woogie style and performs jazz standards by Cole Porter and Duke Ellington. Now we join Marion McPartland in conversation with Sammy Price.
I mean, you've got a lot of playing to do. You're up there in Boston at the Copley Plaza with your little band. And how long did you tell me you've been there?
I've been there. I went in 82. I went up to just talk with Mr. Heck and Mr. Tremaine. Mm-hmm. And Dorothy Donegan had suggested to them that I would probably be the right person for that little room, you know, the bar, the Copley Bar. And I went up to stay 3 weeks, and this is the fourth year.
Well, I think that says something for not only your great talent and expertise, but your staying power. I mean, at least we know you can hold a steady job, Sammy.
Well, I proved that after 77 years, that I can stay someplace.
Isn't it wonderful being in the music business, that really you can be 77 or whatever age you want to be, and you can just stay in it and do it. Nobody says, well, we're going to give you a gold watch and you have to retire. You just play until you're ready to quit, and you probably never will be ready to quit.
I stay in the music business for that money, because, boy, that money is sweet.
That money is sweet. Yes, indeed it is. Well, before we get into that, that's quite a heavy subject, how about having you play a solo number for myself and all the people out there listening?
Well, I'd like to do the thing that Thomas Fats Waller taught me. I can't play it like Fats, but this is my version of the late Thomas Fats Waller's Honeysuckle Rose.
Okay. What a lovely version of Honeysuckle Rose.
Thank you. That's
Sammy
a homespun version.
And it's got a very playful little touch to it, which, of course, is part of your personality.
Thank you.
And it's very original, as only you might be expected to do. Something of your own, showing your own personality. You must have known Fats Waller, Sammy.
I know him very well. You know, O'Neill Spence and a lot of his guys that worked with Fats were friends of mine, and Fats and I became, I liked him so well. I don't know, I've been so impressed with piano players that when Fats died, I was in Salt Lake City, and I came to New York for his funeral, and they had a memorial at Cafe Society downtown Bonnie Josephson had. And when Earl Hines died, I went to San Francisco for his funeral. And when Count Basie died, I came to New York. I was out of town. I came back here for his funeral at my church, the Abyssinia Baptist Church. So I have a thing for, you know, paying last respect to great artists.
Well, and I think we all have that, but the fact that you actually went there, especially to Earl Hines' funeral, that's another guy you must have known well.
I knew Earl very well. I looked up to Earl and Art Tatum and those guys. And I never wanted to try to, outplay them or that sort of thing, because, you know, I learned how to play the piano without any training, just picked it up.
And did you really?
Yeah.
And Where's your hometown?
In Texas, in Dallas, Texas.
That's where you're from, Dallas?
Yes, yes.
No kidding.
And I picked it up. learned how to play from a player piano.
Is that a fact? Did you have one in your house?
Or? No, I never owned a piano.
Well, how did you go to the music store?
This lady in the neighborhood would let me practice on her player piano, and I learned how to play one song, and then I went out and told everybody that I was a piano player. So this man came and wanted me to play for a fella that had a big club, and I walked into the club, and the man says, "Are you the piano player?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, play me something," and I played. He says, "Oh, that's my old aunt's favorite song. Play it again," and I played it again. He says, "Now play me some blues." I said, and then he says, "Oh, all right, now play me a foxtrot." The same song.
You played 16 versions of the same song.
That was $5. That was the first $5 I made as a musician.
How old were you at that time, a
kid? About 14 or 15.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. You got by playing the same tune different ways.
Yeah. And I got canned right on the spot.
Well, Sammy, this is fascinating, but I also would love to hear you play another tune. How about another solo for us?
All right. I'll play Begin to Begin.
Okay. It's a long time since I've heard Begin to Begin, especially played that way. Do you do that every night at the Copley?
Not really. You know, I know 10,000 songs, but it's difficult for me to, you know, to bring them in focus at the time.
It's funny. I don't know if I know 10,000. I know a lot, but then I wind up playing the same 16 because that's what people request. Do you have that problem?
Yeah, that's the same problem I have.
You may want to play something that's very off the wall or obscure, but people won't let you do it.
Right. They want to hear the real thing.
When the real thing comes along, that's
right.
A good tune. What's your combination there?
I have a young man named Carl Goodwin is a drummer, and then I have Fred Williams as a tenor saxophone, and then I have Eugene Vineyard. I have two tenors. I call it the two-tenor boogie. And we play a lot of songs. We don't play too much boogie-woogie, although that's my forte.
Yeah, I already knew that, I think, from hearing you years ago at the Cookery. But by the way, you just showed me this very terrific citation from Harvard. You must have done some artist-in-residence.
I did a 7-week artist-in-residence at Harvard, and Dr. Bach made me an associate fellow of Harvard.
My goodness.
Well, it's quite all right, my dear.
Very impressive, dear fellow.
Don't be upset, my dear. It's one of those things.
Well, that's great, but do you do a lot of that, not only at Harvard? I mean,
I'm going to be doing it in other schools. They just gave me the videos. I have enough shots to do a full-length movie, but I'm going to go into... My concern is I've always been concerned that I'm not saying this from a racial standpoint, but black history has always been disjointed, and much of the history, the young people do not have an opportunity because they don't hear it.
That's true.
They don't hear the blues. They don't hear the blues today like, during the time of the period when I came along.
That's right.
And I think that they don't have to necessarily hear it, but I think that an example is that if they teach this history in the schools, Aaron Copland and Duke Ellington should be on the same shelf and rack, and we should be talking about both of them, because jazz, blues, and jazz most certainly is an American thing.
It certainly is.
And it's carried me through over the years, but I always like to carry that message with me.
I find when kids hear jazz and they hear some of the tunes by Duke Ellington or Fats or whoever, they're always very fascinated by it. It's just that they don't hear it enough.
You know, now, like we had this workshop at Harvard,
mm-hmm.
and I was so hurt because there were I know we have black kids, and it was free, and we're talking of black history.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe three or four kids in the 7-week period came, black kids. And I was really kind of hurt about that.
Well, I think they have to be let know, to be told that this is something that is really for them and that they should really be a part of it. They should hear what their heritage is and that all these people...
But I think it should be not only they should hear about it, it should be taught. I just think that we should become more conscious and become alert and try to develop this, some kind of thing like that. It's more to, and I always said to the young people, it's more to it than just playing basketball, buying a pair of sneakers, and doing disco and all that. It's more to our culture than just that.
There sure is. Sure is.
I didn't mean to preach on your program.
No, listen, but you and I've got to play a little bit.
All right, I'm ready.
We're going to play another Fats Waller tune.
Yeah, and it's called Squeeze Me, right?
Right, and I'm going to let you lead this one off, and then I'll just follow you.
All right.
How's that?
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.